Welcome to a deep dive into the world of motion sensors. We'll be exploring why motion sensors used for activity recognition are, well, more complex than they might appear.
We're going to be examining the study dealing with sensor displacement in motion-based on-body activity recognition systems.
Ah, so this paper, this is from 2008, right? By Kunze and Lukovic. It tackles this crucial question. What happens when a sensor's position on the body changes? And we all know that's important for anything tracking movement.
It certainly is. A lot of the research, back then especially, assumed sensors would stay put, fixed in very precise locations. But in the real world, well, that's rarely the case.
Yeah, think about a fitness tracker. On your wrist, it's going to move around no matter what.
Exactly. And those shifts, even small ones, can have a big impact on the whole system. Because these systems often analyze movement patterns based on, you could say, a simplified model of the human body.
Simplified meaning?
Think of it this way. Researchers break the body down into essentially rigid segments connected at the joints, almost like a stick figure.
Okay, so anatomical geometry, in a sense.
That's a good way to put it. This simplification, it helps build a foundation for analyzing movement. But as this paper points out, the stick figure approach, it has its limitations.
What kind of limitations are we talking about?
Well, the paper points out three main ones. Firstly, it struggles to really capture those quick bursts of intense movement or, say, vibrations. The difference between, say, a punch versus slowly lifting a weight, the sensor experiences those very differently.
That makes sense.
Secondly, this model, it doesn't account for how muscles change shape during activity. So imagine you're doing a bicep curl. A sensor on your arm, it's not just rotating simply, it's going through a more complex path.
So the muscle is kind of distorting the sensor's perspective as it's working?
You could say that, yes. And finally, this model, it runs into trouble with rotations of the lower arm. A sensor near your wrist, compared to one closer to your elbow, experiences very different motion, even if the arm overall is doing the same general movement.
It's fascinating how much complexity there is in these movements we take for granted. But that's where this research gets really interesting, right? Kunze and Lukovic, they didn't just identify the problem. They went looking for solutions. This is where the study gets really fascinating. Though, gotta admit, this is also where it might get a tad technical. But stick with us. It's worth it. Trust me.
To understand how Kunze and Lukovic tackled these challenges, we need to look at how motion sensors work, particularly accelerometers at a physics level, really. These are the workhorses of motion tracking.
Accelerometers, so we're talking about measuring acceleration, not just movement, right?
Exactly. They detect changes in speed and direction. So the paper breaks down an accelerometer signal into three main parts. The first being acceleration due to gravity.
Which tells us which way is up or down.
Precisely. And importantly, this part is always there, constant, and it stays the same no matter where the sensor is on a limb.
So gravity's our reliable friend here.
You can say that. Now, the second component is acceleration due to translation. Think of it as straight line movement, like raising your arm forward. And again, this one also stays consistent regardless of where the sensor is on the limb.
Okay, so we've got gravity translation. What's the third player in this acceleration equation?
That would be acceleration due to rotation. And this is where things get a bit trickier and where sensor placement really starts to matter.
How so?
Because the farther out a point on a rotating object is, the faster it has to move to stay in that position. Picture a ball on a string, spinning. The further out the ball is, the faster it's going, even if the spinning speed is the same, right? Our arms work similarly.
So a sensor in my wrist is going to be experiencing much more dramatic movements than one up near my elbow, even if the overall arm movement is the same.
Exactly. And that difference in acceleration, that's what introduces errors in activity recognition when the sensor moves around.
I'm starting to see the problem here. So how do we get around this rotation issue? Can we somehow just, I don't know, ignore it? Is there a way to filter it out?
That's a great question. And it leads us to another type of motion sensor, the gyroscope. Gyroscopes, they're really good at measuring rotation.
So could gyroscopes be the answer to this problem then?
Well, here's the thing. Gyroscopes, they measure rotation and rotation alone. That's their specialty, but also a limitation.
Meaning they'd be missing those other acceleration components we talked about, gravity and translation.
Exactly. Using just a gyroscope would be like trying to follow a story, but only reading every other sentence. You get some information, but not the full picture.
So neither accelerometer nor gyroscope alone can solve this sensor displacement puzzle. What did Kunze and Lukovic propose? Did they crack the code, so to speak? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Could we somehow sidestep this whole rotation issue altogether?
Well, they got pretty clever. They tested out a few workarounds, almost like giving their activity recognition system specialized tools to analyze the motion data. Their first strategy, we could think of it as a rotation significance test.
Okay, how'd that work?
They looked at the ratio of the accelerometer data to the gyroscope data. That way, they could spot and potentially even toss out parts of the signal where rotation was the main event, so to speak.
So filtering out the noise caused by those shifting sensors.
Exactly. Now, their second strategy, this one got smart about using that constant friend we have, gravity. Remember, gravity is the one part of the accelerometer signal that's always there, always reliable.
Right. Always present and accounted for.
Exactly. So they figured, why not focus on the parts of the signal where gravity's effect is strongest? Because unlike rotation, gravity's pull, it's less bothered by where that sensor sits on the limb.
Use what's always there. Clever.
Their third strategy was almost like a trial by fire for their system. They trained it using data from two sensors placed as far apart as possible on the limb.
Oh, so throwing the most extreme scenario at it right off the bat.
Precisely. The idea being, by exposing the system to this really wide range of data, it would ideally learn to recognize features of the movements themselves that are less reliant on the sensor's exact location.
Training it to be location agnostic in a way.
A good way to put it. But of course, the big question is, did any of this actually work?
Did they crack the code, so to speak?
The results were promising. In their initial tests, they simulated arm movements and found that combining accelerometer and gyroscope data using their strategies led to an accuracy of 85%, even with significant sensor displacement.
85%? That's not bad, considering the challenges involved.
Not bad at all. Encouraged, they then moved on to more, well, realistic activities. Things like walking, running, cycling. Again, they saw solid results, getting around 90% accuracy with their combined approach.
So far, so good.
The real test, though, came when they threw their toughest challenge at it, gym exercises.
Because those involve far more complex movements, more variation.
You got it. And as you might expect, accuracy did take a dip. But even then, their method, combining data from both sensor types and being smart about those rotation-heavy segments, it still outperformed methods that used just one sensor type or didn't account for the sensor moving around.
So not a perfect solution, but it seems like a pretty big step toward making activity recognition more robust, more reliable, despite these challenges.
Absolutely. What Kunzen and Lukovic showed is that there's more to motion sensing than meets the eye. And their work, it continues to inform how we approach these challenges today.
It's amazing to think something as seemingly simple as walking or lifting a weight has this whole other layer of complexity when you look at it through the lens of physics and sensor technology. Those little motion sensors we wear, they're not just passively recording data, they're capturing this whole intricate dance of forces and movements happening within our bodies.
A dance we're still learning to decipher.
That's what makes this field so exciting, though, right?
Always more to
uncover. For instance, given these challenges with sensor displacement, could the key to even more accurate activity recognition lie in focusing on those simpler gravity-based movements instead of trying to capture every subtle motion? Or, as technology evolves, will we find even more creative ways to combine data from different sensor types, build an even richer, more accurate picture of human movement?
Fantastic questions, and ones that researchers are actively digging into, no doubt. Clearly, the quest for more accurate, more robust motion sensing is far from over. And the knowledge we gain from it, well, it has implications far beyond just fitness trackers or step counters. It has the potential to revolutionize healthcare, gaming, even how we understand human behavior itself.
Now that's an exciting frontier. And that wraps up our deep dive for today. We've covered a lot of ground, from the physics of motion to the challenges of sensor displacement and the clever workarounds being developed. We hope you found this exploration as illuminating as we did. For those who want to dig even deeper into this fascinating world, check out our show notes for links to the research paper and other resources we've mentioned.
Until next time, keep those minds curious.